Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very, very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. Tonight's guest is Matt Gunn. Born and raised in a small town in Ontario, he combines a mix of soul, ska, and rock to prove to the world that there's more to the country than just honky-tonks and cowboy boots. Matt also plays a variety of styles of music as well as all the instruments on his albums. He never uses pitch correction or quantize, and his latest album, The Art of Imperfection, was recorded with no cuts or edits. It's just a play it genre he refers to as real music.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Matt. How are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. So no editing, no Melodyne or auto-tune, no nothing, huh?
No, none of that stuff. Like, I'm guilty of, on previous records, recording, five or six takes and taking the beginning half of one and the back half of the next. But this time I was like, you know what? I'm not doing any of that. And I pretended I have four channels of analog tape. But recording tape's kind of a bit of a pain, as I discovered. So I just pretended I was recording directly onto the machine. And then I mixed down all my microphones through the tape machine by hot wiring the playhead so that it worked in record mode. And it would just go right onto the reels and right off immediately onto another computer to bypass the reel system.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
Thanks at all.
That's great. You know what? I went through something similar. This is my eighth year, and I think around year three or four, I was experimenting and I just got sick of that auto-tune sound. And it's hard, man, because people kind of expect it. And then you try to give them something authentic, like, oh, I'm in anguish there because of the lyrics and it's purposely chromatic or off tune. And people just don't always get it. So it's a great challenge you've undertaken. And I don't have the right answer for you. I've kind of gone back to using it, occasionally and stuff. But it's hard, man. I respect you for what you're doing, though.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I find, like, in today's world, we kind of have to be the producer, the musician, the engineer, everything. And I find, like, the musician in me obviously wants to play it perfect and wants to do another take because I feel I can do it better. But then, the producer in me is going, yeah, but listen to that. Listen to the crackle in your voice. Listen to the emotion coming out of it. Like, why do you want to get rid of that?
Yeah.
And became over the years, I just let the producer win. And to be honest, like, the entire record was recorded in 5 weeks because all the anxiety was gone. It wasn't about trying to get the best take. It was after three takes, I'm like, I'm obviously not going to play it better.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah.
And then kind of pick one.
Yeah. The other thing I've kind of noticed is the less Melodyne I use, the more authentic things sound. And things before, I would literally just select all and then just tune it perfectly 100%. But I've realized that the art of using this stuff too, I'm like, I rarely use it. And if I use it, honestly, I'd rather just re-sing it. It doesn't make sense to just use it as much as I used to. And I think I've learned that the hard way.
Right. Yeah. I can sing it again a lot faster than I can edit it.
Yes. Or sometimes when I was trying to comp something and it's like, oh, this one word is off. And the phrasing is a little different. And I've learned it's just so much easier to just re-sing it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Tell us, Matt, a little bit about when you got started with music.
I think I was just before my 12th birthday. I got to borrow my brother's bass guitar, and he had a bunch of tabs printed off the internet because this was before the days of like Ultimate Guitar. It was more like Tab Crawler, if you remember those days.
Yeah.
And, most tabs were incorrect, as I found out. This is why when you look online, everything's like version 4, because version 1 was so wrong for some reason.
Yeah.
And he had this book of like pop punk bass lines. And by the end of the night, I could play the whole book. And I just kind of went on from there. And I Yeah, no, I found it was easier to make something up than it was to relearn somebody else's stuff. And then through that, I did kind of, the classic, take this lick and take these riffs and start to build my own thing. And just kind of went from there. And a few years later, I had a six-string electric guitar, and then I bought a drum kit, and I just kept going and sacrificed all the space in my room for all of these instruments. And I just never stopped.
Yeah, that's great, man. Is there a tune that you first learned that's still kind of, stuck in your head?
Oh, it would probably be something off the Dude Ranch Blink-182 record, because like I would have been 12 years old, so that was what really what I was into at the time. I really like punk rock. I like the punk rock mentality, as far as from punk rock as that is. But yeah, I'd have to say it was either "Damn It" from Blink-182 or "Bro Him" by Pennywise.
Okay.
If you're familiar with those tunes.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, the Blink-182 song, "The Rock Show," is one of my favorite songs, man. I would karaoke to that thing and all the time. And you talked a little bit about this, right? About once you start doing your own stuff, it's really hard to karaoke or play rock band because you want to ad lib stuff, you want to do stuff a little differently, and of course, then you sound, especially in rock band, right? You get docked, so
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
fun.
And it's like, I don't want to do, I want to add a little, I want to hold that note out for a little bit longer. I think it'd add a little more emotion. But yeah, in those kind of situations, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. Are there any teachers that you had that you want to give a shout out to, or someone that kind of got you really into this?
I mean, I never really studied music. I just kind of played by ear. And it was mostly just my friends that I hung out with. And, the more people you jam with, everybody plays their own little way, and each person can teach you something different. So, like, my buddy Jake Blacker was the one that told me, because he played some cool lick, and I was like, hey, to show me how to do that. And he was like, I can show you this, but there's always going to be someone that's going to play it better. You're better off focusing on rhythm than trying to play these cool licks. And I take that to heart still to this day. Like, I play rhythm section. Like, I don't like me bands or music where, you're based off of three people playing the same thing over and over again, and this one person steps on their boost pedal and shows off louder than everybody else and just does their licks. Because I found the more I was like, okay, it's my turn to do that, that person can't really strum a rhythm. They don't really know how to play. They just know how to impress with licks. So as I got
Yeah.
deeper and deeper into it, the more I realized, like, hey, he was right. Like, the licks, it, there's, I mean, you can see a 6-year-old on the internet playing the coolest lick you ever heard. So it's like, anybody can do it with practice. But when it comes down to like creating your own rhythm and see where you fit in the pocket and trying to hear what the song needs, that's a way harder thing that people seem to avoid. And so he taught me that. And then my other buddy, Brett Simmons, who's the producer, he was the one that taught me listen, because I'd be like, oh, I hate that take. And he'd be like, no, listen to it though. Like, I listen, what you're hating is what I'm loving. And it's like the things that I considered a vocal crack or something like this was him going, no, that was your soul escaping. That's reality. That's what you
Yeah.
want. And I fell in love with that as well. So like those are my main two things. It's like, play the rhythm. Nobody said your rhythm has to be just chords. Like, you can make a wicked rhythm. And the difference between lead and rhythm is that rhythm must repeat, and you're accountable for what you play. And lead, you can just keep soloing and soloing. But eventually, in rhythm, you just have to start. You have to remember what you just played. But it doesn't have to be, four chords and sitting in the background. Like, you can play something cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of, those are my two main things that I've picked up along the way. Everything else is just kind of, people teach you different rhythms, different spots to sit in, and just the more people you play with, the more you're gonna learn.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I was finishing some of the Beatles documentary last night, and it's just fascinating to see. Essentially, you got a bass, two guitars, but it's fascinating to see how they play off each other and to see how they created some of this stuff. It's really cool because
Yeah.
not everybody understands that. They think, oh, drum, bass, guitar, singer, and again, some bands have a piano or a synth, or it just varies, but really, like you said, you can all play off each other, and you can, there's so many cool things you can do musically.
Yeah, and when they're all kind of, you kind of start with like a couple of chords or whatever, and somebody plays something, and then you start playing to them, and then they start playing to you, and then the drummer starts changing, and next thing you know, like, you're not even playing what you even started with, but it's amazing whatever you've created. And that's the kind of jamming that I love. And you know, creating that way where it's like, I don't know, just play a chord and we'll just build off of it. It doesn't have to be good, just keep changing. And yeah, that's to me, that's the greatest musical experience. And you kind of just really get to know the people you're playing with without even talking. You're communicating via music on a different level, and that's a connection that I thrive for.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's one of the hard things now with COVID and live shows. And it's just really, really, I'm craving that. And I can't wait to get out there at some point. I don't know how you guys are up in Canada.
Yeah, we're filled with restrictions and all that kind of stuff, and it's the same thing. Like, they just canceled my schedule again, just before Christmas. They didn't necessarily do that, but they put a 50% capacity limit. So, like, you know, bars and restaurants aren't making any money to begin with. So, like, how can they afford to pay the musicians? So, you know, they canceled our stuff so that they could stay alive. I totally understand. But yeah, I'm with you. I just can't wait for, you know, things like open mics and free jams and stuff where, you know, it's just like people coming together. And just, the one thing I will say is all this pent up frustration that's going on in the world right now is going to create an entire decade of awesome music.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of free
The
time,
dust
right?
settles. When the dust settles, I have so much to say right now, and I feel like I'm not alone in that. And we're going to get bombarded with just awesome music.
Yeah,
I hope.
that's true. Yeah. Well, that's a whole other thing, right? Music compared to some of the other stuff released decades ago or years ago, I mean, it's so good now. It's so competitive. People are doing such creative things and mixing and blending genres. It's hard to compete with that. It really is.
Oh yeah, and at the same time, it's hard to come up with something new because, you know, it's already been done. Look it up on the internet. Your idea has been done, right?
Yeah.
So you got to kind of stick with it. Add your own flavor. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a ton of bands out there, even from back then, that, you know, kind of share a similar feel or sound or look, or, you know, that's just the way it goes, right? But yeah, I'm with you. It gets really competitive as far as like being something fresh.
Yeah, totally. Tell us a little bit about your songwriting process. How do you get started? You get started with a lick, melody, drum groove. How do you start?
It depends. Like, because I play all the instruments, it really depends. Sometimes it just depends on which instrument I picked up first that day. And like, I respect the people who can songwrite as a 9-to-5 job. To me, it doesn't work that way. I might go like 2, 3 months without writing anything, and then I might write like 5 songs in a week. It just kind of has to come to me. But yeah, I'll start with usually like a groove. And I'll just be like noodling around on. I find I write the most on my acoustic guitar. I fear that when I pick up an electric guitar, all I play is like riffs and I try to bend the strings and do all this cool stuff. Whereas on acoustic guitar, I feel like it just forces you to just sing your heart out.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I'll just jam a couple of things and play a couple of chords until I find a progression that I like and a groove that I like. And then I'm unable to do this in front of other people, but I will just begin to say words and say sounds and like just spit out whatever comes naturally. And sometimes I like it, and sometimes I'll just keep going and going until I find something that I like, and then I'll write it down and I'll kind of be like, okay, where am I going with this? And I just kind of let it instinctively happen. And you know, I'm digging deep into a part of my body that my brain can't even get to. So I just let it just come out instinctively, and I kind of write that way. So therefore, my process doesn't work like a 9-to-5. Like, I can't just do that all the time. But some days it just gets so built up that it just starts flowing, and I can write a whole song in an hour. Or sometimes that same tune will take me like 4 months. It'll be on the back burner, and I'm trying to come up with what to do next. So it's a little bit of like a whole broad spectrum. But it'll depend on, you know, if I start with the bass, then it'll be a bit of a groovier tune. And if I'm starting with the guitar, it'll be, I don't know, sometimes I'll start with the drums and it'll be a bit of a rockier tune. Or if I'm kind of stuck, I'll play the drums and try and play like a weird offbeat or something a little broken, because that'll give me an idea of just somewhere to sit. Because sometimes I find my strumming hand just kind of delivers the same thing every time, regardless of how much I try to separate it. it'll give me the same kind of flavor. So I'll use a different instrument in my beginning to give me a different idea in my head so that I can hopefully write a song that doesn't sound like something I've already done.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a listen to your song, then we'll come back and talk, okay?
Sure, sounds good.
Okay, check this out, everybody. Here we go.
I gotta keep on moving, feeling stiff where I stand. So I'll just keep running, run around in my head. I see changing weather, but I don't give a damn. And I fuel the fire, cause it's just who I am. I keep walking on. I keep walking on. But I've climbed a mountain and never got out of bed. And I'll talk for hours and don't know what I said. And I've crossed the ocean. My time now, cause it's almost the end, and I feel alive now, cause it's just who I am.
Cool song, man. Tell us a little bit about what inspired that.
Funny story, actually. So, you know how when you start to play more and more shows and people start to hear you, a lot of them want to tell you how they feel about it. And so one time this really drunk guy followed me back to my home and was just telling me all about what he thought, and thought that, you know, he liked my music but wished I was more poetic, and said a whole bunch of negative things. So as a giant F you to that guy, I wrote deepest, darkest, realest tune I possibly could. I dug into all the things I didn't want to admit and all the things I was pretending I wasn't. And I just admitted them all in that song. And it was like, you know what? Take your poetry and here's some reality. Like, I'm just going to write the realest song I got. And that's that. That's what that song is. So it was just like as a big, like, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do the exact opposite of what you want because I play music for me.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, that's really cool. Tell us about what is your favorite app on your phone that you can't live without.
Lately I've discovered TikTok, and I will admit I learned a lot on it. I mean, I don't really use my phone that much. I have an iPhone SE. I run like old school. Like it's people make fun of me every time I pull my phone out because they're like, wow, that's so small and so old. I'm like, yeah, I love it. It fits in my pocket. But so I can't run a lot of the new cool stuff, but, I find like I try to push my music on Instagram, and I'm trying to I like to see what's cool and just what the other people are doing, and I find those are two good ways of seeing like what's going on out there. And I was on Instagram for a long time, but I felt like I wasn't doing enough when I look at Instagram. I feel like, my life isn't good enough, and I need to try harder, and I need to do this. But I find when I scroll through TikTok, I find nothing matters, and the whole world is just silly. And I kind of, it doesn't make me feel so bad, even though it's the exact same thing. But I feel like, yeah, I don't do too many apps and too many things on my phone, but yeah, just to take a break from my brain and to see, what are other people doing? And am I even on the right track? Like, and I also feel like, you're not going to be the next best thing by doing what everybody else is doing. So it's kind of good to know what's going on so you can kind of tweak it.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. Tell us a little bit about when you're at a gig, you perform, one of you does a mistake. How do you treat that? How do you, what do you do?
Oh, laugh. Laugh it off. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's great advice, man.
Yeah, because like, and there's times like rehearsal is when you're supposed to stop and go, hey, like, that's not how it goes. Like, especially if I am hiring a band to play my songs, and I'm kind of like, your kick drum has to match the bass, or if you put your kick in, and even if it's a millisecond later, it's going to change the groove of the bass guitar, which is going to change the groove of me, and it's going to change the entire groove of the song. So we'll tweak that in rehearsal, and that's rehearsal's job. But I mean, I admit even to myself, like, there's no amount of rehearsing that's going to stop my mistakes on the stage. It's just going to happen. I can't help it. I am a human, and I'm not perfect. So therefore, it's like, there's a difference between making a mistake and not knowing how it goes. Like, if you just screwed up, I don't care. I think it's hilarious. But if you made that mistake every single time we've played the song, I'll be upset.
Yeah, I hear you. What do you have coming in the next year that you want to share with the fans?
Oh, I'm working on a new record. Over the lockdown periods, I learned music theory and how to score it. It was a quest for more chords. I felt like, I've written well over 100 songs, and I'm just kind of, I feel like I'm running out of ideas, so I wanted more chords and how to play more stuff. And I bought a software to score, Notion 6 by Personas, and I've been kind of working out some stuff, and the smaller venues up here are kind of becoming fewer and farther between. So I feel like if I need to fill a big venue, then I'm going to need a big band. And I was trying to write something that has, all these old style instruments and like concert band instruments, and use like a string section and a brass section, and actually score each individual instrument out rather than just use the string settings on your MIDI keyboard, and actually write it out so that it can generate the sheet music so that I can actually ask people to perform it. Now, whether or not it's going to be a whole album of that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I just bought a Soundtracks M Series 24 channel console from 1985. So I've been sitting there with Q-tips and alcohol and cleaning the whole thing out so I can get that older analog sound that I've been searching for. And I'm just going to start pumping out music. I don't know what yet. I got five songs on the back burner, but it's just, I feel like this is the time to create, and I want to work with more artists and just make a bigger, larger sound with all my friends and keep going like that. So that's kind of what you can look forward to in the next year. But it all depends. Like, I don't want to get excited for shows because, like, I have no idea where the world is going. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your website. Where can people buy your music, stream it, before we let you go here?
Yeah, you can go to macgunmusic.com. All my stuff can be found there. I'm available on all streaming platforms. I sell vinyls out of the trunk of my car in true punk rock fashion. And I can ship them, so I'll ship them anywhere. They're $20 each, or make me an offer, basically. But yeah, so I haven't really got any sort of like physical distribution network. So there's not really very many record stores you can go buy the vinyls in. There are a few of them, but they're up here in Canada. With the help of the internet, you just go on to the website and the contact page, and you send me a message of what you want, and I'll make sure you get it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight, man. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. So thank you to all the fans out there who spent a little time with Matt and I. I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. And tonight I'm going to leave you with one of my songs called 10,000 Seconds. It's a pop rock song about the most important 10,000 seconds of the day. I love you guys. Have a great night.
Play the game to change the game. You're either growing or dying, either winning or trying. You grow frustrated, the grind keeps you jaded. Sometimes in the clouds, sometimes laying down. Look out the front window, not the back mirror. Oh no, don't get stuck in limbo. Unmasked, unloved, and unconscious. No, no, no. 10,000 seconds in a day. 10,000 seconds is all you get. 10,000 steps and you're on your way. That's all you get, just 10,000 seconds in a day. Shadows come to get you, you fight harder, yes you do. Keep breathing, moving and praying, the finish line is waiting. You earn your tragedies, feel every ounce of the agonies. Fight for freedom without a gun, fight cause you know you've already won. Look out the front window, not the back mirror. Oh no, don't get stuck in limbo. Unmasked, unloved, and unconscious. No, no, no. 10,000 seconds in a day. 10,000 seconds is all you get. 10,000 steps and you're on your way. That's all you get, just 10,000 seconds in a day.
Hold still. Keep breathing, keep moving. Never hold still. Keep breathing, keep moving. Keep breathing, keep moving. Keep moving, keep breathing. Keep breathing, keep moving. Keep moving, keep breathing.
10,000 seconds in a day. 10,000 steps and you're on your way. 10,000 seconds in a day. That's all you get, just 10,000 seconds in a day.
Enjoy them. It's all you get.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you.